Good afternoon and welcome to Saturday with Katie Hannan. Right away, let me introduce my panel. We have Dara O'Brien, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin TD for Galway West South Mayo, Dennis Nocton, Independent TD for Roscommon Galway, Padraig Cribben, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, and a little later we'll be talking to the European Commissioner for Financial Services, Mairead McGuinness, and Ruan McCormack, Irish Times Assistant Editor and author of The Supreme Court. We want to hear what you think. Text us on 51551, email saturday@rte.ie or tweet to @SaturdayRTE. Now, this week brought the very first chink of light in the battle against the coronavirus. A very encouraging data from Pfizer on the vaccine it's developing means that plans are now being put in place for a possible rollout of a mass vaccination programme over the coming months. Minister Dara O'Brien, what can you tell us about this rollout operation?
Well, we've already, look, firstly, it is very good news, as you rightly say. Like the word back from the Pfizer trials with a 90% efficacy for the Pfizer vaccine is really something that I think all of us welcome. Also, news coming down the line, hopefully, in relation to the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, and there will be others. So we've got to be ready as a country, obviously, to roll it out.
Are we going to be ready?
We will be. We have established a government high-level task force in relation to the vaccine rollout that met this week. It's been chaired by Professor Breen McGrath. A very good group there that will look at how, one, the logistics of rolling it out, priorities of rollout of vaccine, making sure that those who need it most get it first, but really being ready. And we have at an EU level, and my colleague Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, and the HSE Department of Health, we've entered into pre-purchase agreements with a number of potential vaccines. So what we want to be is obviously ready. This year being, obviously, 2020, we'll all remember it as the year of COVID, and hopefully, and we're confident that 2021 will be the year of the vaccine, and that's got to be absolutely our priority as a government, and we're working on it now.
Are we buying fridges? Because one of the things we're hearing is that we're going to need to store this at very, very low temperatures.
With the Pfizer vaccine, the temperatures it needs to be stored at, I believe, are minus 80 degrees centigrade. So that is, and that's something that's going to be a challenge for a number of countries. But what we need, anything that needs to be done will be done. But this may not be the only vaccine that's ready. We're expecting news on another couple of vaccine trials very, very soon. Obviously, we have to see the data of the Pfizer trial. That medical data actually hasn't yet been published. But look, that's what the high-level group will be. It'll be chaired by Breen McGrath, overseen by the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste and the Minister for Health. It came up at Cabinet earlier this week as well. So what we want to do, look, the public have done an incredible job, and the sacrifices that our health professionals and the public have made in relation to driving down the vaccine. So we're doing that and suppressing it, one of only two EU countries. But now we've got to be ready to see into next year in relation to the rollout of that vaccine. And we will be ready.
Do we know now, has it been established already, the hierarchy of priority? No.
That's something that I'm going to be very honest. Obviously, there would be those who need it most, the most vulnerable. That would be the sense that they would be. But that's the work that the committee, the rollout group and the Department of Health and the HSE will do in conjunction with government. But, you know, those type of things are being worked on. I think this week has been significant that we've established the high-level working group. That will be the one that will advise government that we have our processes ready in advance of receiving the vaccine. And we have already, as a country, it's important our listeners know this, entered into those pre-purchase agreements along with our EU colleagues to make sure that we will get the vaccine. So the Taoiseach said yesterday to Brian Dobson, I think, that we're potentially looking at mid-2021 or on the run-up from spring to mid-2021 to roll out a vaccine. And that will be a game changer for all our people, for our businesses, for our country and our colleagues. And, you know, that's something that we're very much looking forward to.
Would you personally have any reservations about taking a vaccine that has been developed so quickly?
No. I wouldn't. And I believe that the scientific and medical community have worked assiduously together against this threat that has, you know, a vaccine and a pandemic like this. So they've put all their resources into it. I personally would take it. I have a family from talking to people. It'll have passed the medical trials. So certainly I would have no doubts whatsoever. And wherever I would be in the list of priorities into the future would be another question. But my daughter and my family and that, I would have no difficulty once it passes the medical trials, which it has done so, in taking a vaccine.
Mairead Farrell, could that become an issue, though? Because we know that there is already a growing anti-mask, anti-science, you could say, movement out there, and could that morph into an anti-vaccine movement?
The first thing I'd say is I think that this is the kind of good news that we needed to get in the closing of, as the end of 2020 approaches. So it is very good news. Personally, I'd have no issue taking the vaccine. I look forward to taking the vaccine. I look forward to hopefully the majority of people taking the vaccine. Whether that will be an issue is something I suppose that we need to make sure that when and if I suppose a vaccine is identified, that we have as much information as possible publicly available for people to ease any concerns.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on because we have much to get through. And if you listen really carefully, you can nearly hear the sleigh bells in the distance already. Right. This day, 6 weeks, Christmas will be actually behind us. With what kind of Christmas will we have had? The Taoiseach said yesterday that people won't be going on the lash this year, but will even modest family gatherings be advised? We know that NPHET are looking at possibly putting a limit on the number of close contacts individuals can have after we come out of level five. Here's Cillian de Gascoigne, NPHET's Cillian de Gascoigne, explaining their thinking on this programme last Saturday.
We'll have to look at what the high risk settings are and what the low risk settings are, but the challenge is identifying what that number of close contacts is going to be, because we want the R naught to be ideally below one. And the problem is, if we're looking at, say, just for argument's sake, three close contacts versus four close contacts, that could flip the balance from below an R naught of below one to above one.
Yeah, that's kind of a fairly sobering thought there, that when you're dealing with those small numbers,
sure,
even that a small number of increase in the number of people are socialising with could make a huge difference. I saw that the Taoiseach and the Examiner this morning telling us that the guards won't be knocking on our doors over Christmas. But then, is there a blind eye going to be turned to the traditional family gathering over turkey and trifle?
Well, Christmas is really important for all of us and for many in this country. I think, firstly, let's recognise where we're at now because of the efforts that the people have made. A very difficult decision the government made in relation to moving into level five and the restrictions. We're halfway through that at the moment. So I just, you know, I'd be guarded in the comments in relation to we've got to keep working on that over the next 3 weeks into early December. The signs are good. Hospitalisation is down. ICU admissions are down. The R naught is at around 0.6.
Okay, yeah,
so we know that.
But
I was just putting in the context that the Taoiseach said yesterday very clearly that we will be looking and communicating a plan for Christmas later this month. OK, and that relates to all of those different. We want people to have a good Christmas, but a safe Christmas as well. And we don't want to lose the progress that we have made. And I know no one wants us to lose the progress that we made. Having said that, I think socialisation with family and with some friends for me is something that's very important around Christmas. I know many people.
Is it essential?
Well, look, I'm not going to prejudice the decision that'll be made. All I'm saying is what we're working together as a government collectively, and with the Taoiseach is driving this, is to make sure that we have a Christmas that's meaningful. Mightn't be the same as last year, I think the Taoiseach's right, but that's meaningful where people can meet and where we'll
but
do that.
But if NPHET are telling us things like what Cillian was suggesting
there. I heard what Cillian
there.
Said, but I don't think he's being, in fairness, he's giving, I didn't hear the full thing, but he's that's one response. At the end of the day, government will make the decision, and I think we're working towards that. There, that we will be communicating with people.
Are you saying it won't necessarily be absolutely in line with what NPHET?
I'm not going to set up any conflict between us and NPHET, and there won't be. I know that's not what you're trying to do. Government will make a decision based on the public health advice we get, but also the other measures that we believe. And in relation to people's mental health, Christmas is an important time for our country. For many people, it's a break that's there. We want people to have a meaningful Christmas with their families. We've businesses that have suffered greatly this year, that have closed, have done everything that they've been asked for. So our priority is working towards it, and that's why we did that. When we went into level five, one of the things we said is we want to have a December. We want to have people to be able to enjoy Christmas, businesses to open back up again. And I think, by the way, we're going in the right direction.
Okay, well, you're talking about businesses opening back up again. I want to bring in Pádraig Cribben,
sure,
Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Pádraig, when you heard the Taoiseach say this week that the target for December, when we emerged from level five, was to go to level three, did your heart sink?
Well, essentially, Katie, level three, as it's currently set out, would be for the capacity to have 15 people outside.
That's if you serve food in a pub.
Yeah, and well, no, either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody has any interest at any time of the year. It's not viable, it's not practical. And if you look at a day like today, it's just not on. So essentially, when the Taoiseach talks about communicating a plan, You know, the one thing we do know is that people are going to socialise over Christmas. And the real question is that going to be in the domestic home, in the private setting, where there'll be no masks, no social distancing, cross-contamination, etc., or in the controlled environment of a pub? But make it very clear.
But Pádraig, can I put you that the kind of socialising that people are more likely to do in their homes, it won't be as they would have done in previous Christmases in pubs, where you would meet a huge variety of other people, and the kind of mixing would go well beyond, you know, a number of families and close friends.
And it won't be that in a pub either, because remember, you're confined to six people at a table from two different households. So it'll be very different in a pub as well. But I think it's also important to make it clear, this is not just about Christmas. I don't think that any publican is really interested in opening for 2 weeks at Christmas and closing down again. We need to get to a situation where those 7,500 businesses, and equally importantly, there are 50,000 employees, many of whom have had no work since last March, that they have to be looked after, and the suppliers. It's not just about Christmas. There has to be a plan into January and into February, because, you know, the business is such, there are costs in starting up, there are costs in closing down. Nobody has an interest in just 2 weeks over Christmas. We need to get right across December and look forward to January, February and March. And the one thing that's important is it has to be about all pubs, because there will be a demand there. And if that demand is there, the broader it spread, the better. And for those pubs that want to open, they should be given the opportunity to do that.
Mairead, would you agree there?
I would agree that it's been a very, very difficult year for so many people and so many businesses. And I think Pádraig hit the nail on the head there when he said that there's been people out of work since the beginning of March, and they've been on the pandemic unemployment payment. And we've just heard the minister suggest that it'll be the mid of next year that a vaccine will more than likely, hopefully, if we're lucky, be rolled out. Now, there's huge uncertainty in relation to the PUP as to when it'll be stopped, when it will be cut. And we have people who have been unemployed since March, and they need some sense of security on this.
Minister, if the target is level three, is Pádraig wasting his breath
No,
there?
No, he's certainly not wasting
his
breath. What the Taoiseach also said, because I listened to the interview yesterday, is level three, but looking at versions within that and looking at the sectors. I'm well acutely aware in my own area people who haven't been able to work since March, April, and the sector that Pádraig represents and the hospitality sector in general has suffered greatly. That's why as a government we put unprecedented supports in there. The wage support scheme, restart grants, rate rebates of 900 million to keep businesses alive. Because it may be, yes, just to let me conclude, it may be, yes, that it would be spring or the middle of next year for a vaccine rollout. That doesn't mean everything stops. So what we've got to do is we will be communicating a plan at the end of this month. We're supporting businesses and jobs as best as we can.
Are you minded to allow pubs to open for Christmas?
I'm not the one who will make that decision on my own. So I'll be minded to look at the data in a couple of weeks' time, because let's not forget we're only halfway through this. What I am absolutely minded and acutely aware of is the pressures that this sector in particular have been under. And we've done everything we can to address that. But we've got to, and we will, put public health first. I think all of us want that. So when you look at how we're managing this, like, a lot of criticism was heaped on the government when we moved into level five. Let's remember this only a few weeks ago by others in Mairead's party who wanted pubs open right through July, and Mary Lou and that said that. So look, we've taken responsible decisions that have hurt people and hurt sectors, but we're supporting them through it by the economic support we're giving. So let's see, the next 3 weeks we need people to keep working with us, and hopefully we can open up in a meaningful way that looks at all the sectors, including Pádraig as well.
Okay, there's one issue though, a very particular issue for the border counties. Pádraig, I might bring you back in on this. If we're closed, if a pub's on this side of the border is closed in December, and the pubs on north of the border are open, is there a worry there that people will go there for their socialising to a place where the infection rate is in some cases many multiples of the infection rate in the border counties?
It's not a worry at all, Katie. It's a reality. And what we have in the border counties is we have still levels of the infection on a daily basis about four times higher in the north than it is in the south. And you're actually going to end up in a very simple situation. You will have people from the south going north, going to the pubs, going to the hotels, etc. And there is no doubt that in that, in a setting where the level of infection is four times higher, it's actually going to bring it back down south again. So that is precisely what will happen if we end up in a situation where the pubs in the north are open and the pubs down south don't have the same facility to trade.
I hear what Pádraig's saying, but I think by the question, Katie, there's nearly an assumption that this is what's going to happen. I would not assume that. I think at every stage we'll continue to engage with the sector, the hospitality sector, both pubs and restaurants.
So if you're a Republican listening to this today, you're saying to them, don't lose hope here.
No,
there is a possibility that you will have your doors open and not just for the 15 people standing outside.
What I'm saying to you is nothing. This has not been decided upon. Of course, there is hope there. The sector, many people within the sector worked extremely well and capably and followed every bit of advice they were asked to the last time. There was a reality, though, that the country had faced just a few short weeks ago where numbers were climbing at an alarming rate, and the government had to act, and we did. But we will be engaging and continuing that engagement with Pádraig and his colleagues and others in the Restaurants Association. So I would say people know that not to lose hope on that in any way, shape or form, but what we'll do will be responsible and will be in the interest of the country as a whole, and that's what we've got to do.
Let me bring Dennis Nocton in. Dennis, where do you stand on the pub opening issue?
Well, I think, look, first of all, I think lockdowns are a very blunt instrument, and while they do spread the rate of infection or stop the rate of infection, we don't know which bits work and which bits don't work. And I think what we really need now here is to abandon the current five-level strategy that we have and to bring in a new Irish-specific model that opens up as much of society as possible, while also ensuring that the next wave of infection, which is projected to come in the spring, doesn't lead to a further lockdown. And I think at the moment, the current restrictions are being based far too much on advice coming from the European Centre for Disease Control and too little based on the actual evidence and the data that we have here in Ireland. For example, in terms of restaurants and churches, there seems to be very little evidence of them being a vector in the spread of this particular virus. And I think managing a virus based on evidence that's coming from France and Germany is very different to managing a virus on a rural island off the west coast of Europe. Remember that 37% of our population live in isolated rural communities, and that isn't replicated anywhere else in Europe. So I think what we need to do is to look at the data that's there in terms of contact tracing, in relation to the data generated in our laboratories from hospitalizations and digital data, and analyze that and look and see what does work, what reduces the spread of the infection, restrict those particular measures and allow our economy to open up, because we're looking at the moment.
But do you doubt, Dennis? Dennis, if we're talking about the pubs,
that would lead
Dennis, I apologize. I think there might be a little bit of a delay on the line. But just put to you: do you doubt that the pub environment might be an environment where it would be considered high risk by a virologist?
Well, look, from my own anecdotal evidence, I think where pubs were managed correctly over the summer, I don't think that there was. I didn't hear of any reports of infection from them. There were isolated incidents, and I think they need to be kept to a very minimum. But remember, Katie, we're looking, and what the NPHET are looking at and what they're conscious of, based on projections, we're looking at a further wave in the spring, a further wave in the early summer. So we could be potentially, if we don't get this right, looking at a lockdown for Valentine's Day, a further lockdown for the June bank holiday weekend. And we really need to start looking at the information that is available here in Ireland and put specific steps in place to address the spread of the infection in Ireland, not what's happening in France, Germany and Italy.
Okay, I'll just give you a sense before I let you in, Mairead, I'm going to bring you in now. But just to give you a sense of the reaction we're getting to this discussion, surely the publicans must realise the virus will dictate what happens with our social lives. The government is doing what is necessary. Cop on, says Anna. We've got Tom in Wexford says, under no circumstances should pubs be allowed open. They were given their chance and behaved appallingly. Totally disregarded regulations. I'm sure, Porrig, you would dispute that.
Well, it's not that I would dispute it. The facts disputed. There were over 30,000 inspections by Gardaí, the most inspected, the most monitored, the most controlled environment. And out of those 30,000 inspections, there were a small percentage, a minuscule percentage, that actually were breaching the guidelines. And we have been very clear, the Gardaí have additional powers. Those particular outlets that breached those guidelines, the full force of the law should be brought to bear on them. We were very clear about that then, we're very clear about it now. And the facts don't back up those comments.
Can I just put you, we have another tweet here. We're calling, this is from a publican, we're calling for pubs to be given the choice whether to open or remain shut while retaining the crisp payment if they stay closed. Because I've been looking at some of the reaction to this and they're saying you might not be well representing all your members. If your pub is a very small pub, you're not going to be able to, you know, operate financially successfully.
I think that's essentially what I said, Katie, yeah. That those that want to open should be given the opportunity to open.
And if you don't, you can continue to get the supports. Okay.
Obviously, yeah, because for quite a number of pubs that are very small, there is an issue around the use of the bar counter, which makes it not viable. And that's why I'm very clear, it's for those that want to open, they should be given that opportunity. Okay. And for those that don't, obviously, they continue as they are.
Okay, Mairead, you've been trying to get in.
I just want to come in on the things that Dennis Naughton was saying there. And I think in relation to COVID-19, it's obviously a relatively new virus, and obviously our response and being able to use European-wide data to tailor a response, of course, I do think is important. But the reality is that NPHET have been making adaptations for Ireland. So I'm not exactly 100% sure what Dennis means there. And the other thing is, I mean, we do need to realise, he's mentioned France and Germany there, but there is extremely isolated and rural areas in Germany and France as well. So I don't fully understand the rationale there.
Just a couple of things to say. Look, the data and law work has been done. Dennis does make a point in relation to...
The reality is in Europe.
So,
just to explain to Mairead what I'm talking about is, there is no other country in Europe that has 37% of its population living in isolated rural areas. Yes, absolutely, right across Europe, you have very isolated areas, but not such large numbers of the population as we have.
Okay, but we know that NPHET are.
I just want to say just very briefly, because
the same thing.
It's just a really brief point, Katie, that I do think is important just to make on this, is that, look, we have changed our approach. Right now in the level 5 restrictions, construction is open. That's a sector that was closed in the original lockdown is open in full because we've learned and we've looked at data. Schools are open. They weren't open in the first restriction. So we do move with it. We continually look at the data, and there's further data being looked at as well as to the instances and where, let's say, the virus might spread and what types of settings. We're moving hopefully towards the end game, as I said earlier, that 2021 will be the year of the vaccine. So
Can I ask you in relation to that? Because sure. I see this has been raised by a number of experts in the field. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we hearing more about ventilation, particularly as we move into the winter months?
I've listened to Orla. Well, our schools do, Katie. I've listened to Orla Hegarty on this. She's been pushing this very hard. I know that in our schools that most of the windows are open, they're ventilated well. We've got to look.
But in your department, looking now that we know of a pandemic situation, is this being worked into regulations?
It is for future design. Absolutely. And we've got to look. A lot of our homes that are being retrofitted right now, we've 65 million in my own department for retrofit for next year, rightly so, for our public homes. But Orla Hegarty and others make a very fair point in it. But just to say, to go back, is that these restrictions have changed. We've got construction open in full, which is important. Our schools are open. Okay. So what we're going to do is we just need to stick with what we're doing for the next 3 weeks. Focus, as we have done and our people have done, to make sure we're in a good position in December and that we can tackle the vaccine into early next year, because government have, I think, to be fair, along with the sectors, shown leadership on this. And we've shopped a lot.
But I think, Minister, the issue people have is, if you look at things like, say, non-essential shops.
Yes.
And we have seen no data. If the data exists, I haven't seen it, that there is any spread from non-essential shops. And I think a lot of people felt
that
a very blunt instrument that was used at that
stage.
Given we're this far into the virus, why are our instruments still so blunt?
Well, that was a blunt instrument, but unfortunately it was required to be done. Look at the rest of Europe. The rest of Europe and our nearest neighbour in Britain. Look at the north of Ireland. And look at how that's been managed up to a degree, or some would say mismanaged there to a degree too. We have to. Sometimes the measures taken by government are tough, and are really tough on non-essential retail and on hospitality. But it's keeping that end game in sight of where we need to get to. And these measures have worked. Let's be honest.
I'm conscious of the time.
I'm aware.
I'm conscious of the